I do hope the last episode in this series made it abundantly clear that you cannot exist, you cannot breathe, you cannot eat, much less even begin to thrive without getting your hands on some money. And so, because this is a fact, everyone on earth has an advice on how you should make money. I'm talking your teachers, right? Your guidance counselors, your grandma, your damn Uber driver. Everyone has an opinion, especially if you're young, on how you should get your hands on some of that money that we all need. The thing is, while most of these people mean very well, their advice is usually terrible. And what about the money experts on TV or on the internet? The experts' advice is usually worse. I mean, much worse. And hopefully, we can do something about that in today's episode. They can never take the life of a real G.
I'll get money. Amos talks the dollar.
Now, before I get into the good stuff, what actually works, let me just take a sledgehammer to some of the terrible ideas that you run into every single day. You know, the most popular one is be your own boss.
Being your own boss gives you the ability to have complete autonomy of your choices, an opportunity to pursue your dreams on your terms. Yeah, I think you have to be self-motivated. I think you have to be passionate. I think you have to be committed.
If you believe the internet, everyone should work for themselves. This is terrible advice, because if you start your own business, odds are you're more likely to fail than you are to succeed. I am not trying to bum you out. Most new businesses fail. And depending on what ideas you might have in your head, you know, the failure rate is as high as 90%. So unless you think you are this special snowflake, this unicorn, and you are one in 10, you probably should not start a business. Another idea that circulates the internet is we should follow our passions.
Hi, I'm Coach Corey Wayne, and this is my video coaching newsletter. And the topic of this newsletter is going to be pursue your passion and money will come.
You don't understand that passion doesn't pay the bills until you get to a certain point where you got real bills going on.
If you put aside the fancy music and the super smart guy telling you the story about passion, you would realize that most people who tell you to follow your passion and not just focus on money are already rich, or at least they have money. Those are the people who are giving you this terrible advice. You know, we also hear you should, get fulfillment from your work. Is your job your spouse? I mean, you mean the same fulfillment that you couldn't get from your family and friends? You're expecting your job to give you fulfillment? Before you get carried away, I think it is important to remember where this whole idea of working, what was the invention of working? Where did that all start from? I guess some can go far back as the 1800s, about 1850 or so, the invention of the steam engine, and then thereafter we kind of formalized work. But I want to go far back than that. I want to get biblical on you. I want to go all the way back to Adam and Eve. And in case you've not read the Bible or the Torah, so here's what happened, right? So God created Adam and Eve, and then they kind of pissed them off, and God was mad at them. And that's how, at least the Bible tells you working was invented. Let me read you a passage from that, from Genesis. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor. all the days of your life. Working is supposed to be work. If it was fun, we would have called it fun. I think Professor Galloway puts it even better than I can.
Follow your passion. What things that are passion, luxury, food, entertainment, sports, those are massively overinvested, and a very small fraction, less than 1% of the people who find those things, are passionate about those things, are able to make a living at them. And God bless them, and there's a lot of very well-publicized wins around people who follow their passion and became fabulously wealthy. But what's so unusual about this is what I find is the people who always are telling you to follow your passion are already rich. And they typically got rich following their passion of software as a service for healthcare scheduling. And it's like, oh, that was your passion? Let me tell you what their passion was. Anytime someone tells you to follow their passion, it means their passion was getting rich so they could buy a fat car and marry someone much better looking than them. That is their passion. What I would say is find something in your work that gives you joy and disproportionately allocate amount of time you can based on your credibility in the organization to that part of your job that just gives you joy. I think that's about as good as you can do, and then find something you're good at such that you can develop the economic currency to live a nice lifestyle and spend more and more time as you get older following your true passion.
I love that. Figure out your God-given talent and build some skill and do what the world will pay you for. And I promise you, you will find passion about success, about paying your bills, about having freedom of your time. So how do you actually make money now that we have put to bed some myths? Well, the formula, the way I like to define it, is you take skill acquisition, and you multiply that by leverage, and you subtract ego. And that's the formula for making money. So to break that down, I mean, acquire skills by any means necessary, and then leverage those skills. Now that you have those skills, someone's gonna pay you for your time or for your product, and then turn that into dollars. And if you want to maximize those dollars, you subtract your ego, your pride, your prestige, your fulfillment, all of that nonsense. Because the less of that you have, the more opportunities you have to maximize your earnings. Now, you need to be careful about what skills you are acquiring. You should only focus on acquiring skills where there is high demand for those skills and a low talent supply for those skills. Right? In English, it means we are short plumbers, construction workers, truck drivers, right? These are all skills that there is high demand. We need more of them, but there is a low talent supply. This is why when you call a plumber, he spends 15 minutes in your house and he charges you $200 for it, because he has skills that are in high demand and no talent supply. That's the formula. Do not overcomplicate it. So once you have figured out an area where this is true, this is where you should focus. What you should not do is focus on the opposite, right? The internet and the world will tell you that you should become a social media influencer, social worker. We got too many of those, right? Those are skills in low demand. I do not want more influencers, artists. Hell, I don't even want more lawyers. And there is a high talent supply. Every single day, there's a new influencer. That's not where I want you to focus on acquiring skills. As you're narrowing down what kinds of skills to go acquire, there are generally two ways you can acquire skills. You can do it on the job training. This is where they pay you a little bit and they teach you on the job. Or you go to some sort of school, right? Whether that be a college, trade, what have you. these are generally the two ways, or some combination of the two ways you acquire skills. Let's start with the school version, and let's start with the most popular one that the world likes to glorify, which is college. College may be one of the biggest scams out there. You know why? It's not because colleges are inherently bad. I've got a kid in college. It seems like a good time. He seems to be having fun. I went there. But the problem really is most people go to college and study one of these areas that are not in high demand because they listen to the experts. You know, the admissions counselor, your guidance counselor asking you dumb questions like, what do you like? What are your passions? No. From now on, especially if you're a young person listening to this, you need to take the wheel. You show up to that meeting and you are here to do cold-hearted ROI calculations. You got to think about college as an investment. And when I invest dollars, when people invest dollars, what do you want back? You want more dollars on the other side of that. Instead of listening to that advisor drone on and on about your interests, you should ask one question to the lovely lady or gentleman who is in front of you. What is the ROI of this degree? Meaning, if I spend $100,000 over the course of 4 years getting this degree, what kind of return in form of a salary compensation should I expect on my investments? If they do not have a concrete answer, run and do your own research.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Now, if you can avoid a lot of debt by avoiding college altogether and taking a shortcut, a faster path to an ROI, meaning getting certifications so you can start making money quickly, that's even better. So remember, step one, we've identified the skills we want to acquire, skills that are in high demand. People need more engineers, science, nurses. And so if you decide, listen, instead of going for 4 years, I want to quickly go get the certification, I'll worry about college later, even better, because your ROI, the return on investments, is much better if you take that path. Now, for the vast majority of us, college doesn't even make sense, right? We should be learning a trade. We have too many college graduates with the wrong degrees. Learning a trade can even have a stronger return on investment than going to college. I want to tell you a story about Rick Ross. Rick Ross is a celebrity, a pretty popular rapper. He's worth over $100 million, lives on a mansion, and he needed to cut some branches on his property. And here's Rick Ross.
Morning glory, I'm up early this morning and I just got my estimate. I got like 10 trees I want to cut down. They say them big trees, them big oak trees, Rose. I say, I don't care. I want them cut down, them up the vibe right there. Told me $1,000 a tree. For 10 trees, that's $10,000. Okay, I just told my homie, you go to Home Depot and you go get me the biggest saw there is with a big chain and you crank that up. I'm gonna cut the trees down. You heard me?
I remember, like Rick Ross, the first time I had to hire an arborist, which is about 8 or so years ago. And I ended up calling the guy a terrorist to his face because he wanted to charge me $2,000 for what I thought was a pretty straightforward job. I had to pay him. You know why? We need more arborists and less sociology degrees. You too can start charging people $1,000 to cut tree branches by just, you don't even need to go to any school. Right? You get on the job training and then you get certified in most states for about $100. I think the highest I saw was about $200. No degree necessary. And you too can become a terrorist. I mean, arborist charging people an arm and a leg because that is a skill in high demand and low labor supply. we're going to post a bunch of jobs that require no schooling, and have on-the-job training and maybe some certifications. It pays a lot of money, many of them six figures a year. And I hope many of you listening to this, particularly those of you who are young and young at heart, start making money doing these kinds of jobs that are in high demand. And then after that, you can, you know, go follow your passion. So now that you have a good idea, the formula for making money, you figured out what skills you want to acquire and how to acquire them. Once you now have the skills and you start working, there are a few things I want you to keep in mind that you're not going to hear anywhere else. No matter what your boss says, your job is not a family. No, it's not a family. You're not joining a cult. They do not love you. And so you do not owe your employer blind loyalty. That's number one. The second thing to keep in mind is, if you want the biggest possible pay raises, you must be willing to switch employers.
What?
Yeah. Your employer is likely to pay a new employee more, and they'll claim they have more experience than you, than to give you the raises that you're really looking for. You got to learn from professional athletes. Free agency is the ticket to big paydays. So you are more likely to be strategic about switching jobs to maximize the pay raises you're going to get over your career. And then if you want job security, this is number three, you do not get job security by, you know, schmoozing us up to the boss. That's only going to last until one day you piss him or her off, and then you're on their bad side. You get job security by what? Acquiring more in-demand skills. Skills acquisition, right? Pick up more skills. Enhance the skills you already have in the areas that are in high demand. Because do you think there's an arborist who is walking around scared of getting fired? Do you think nurses are walking around, you know, scared to death of being fired? No, they have skills in high demand. So your leverage is your skill. And above all else, it is a business. It's not a family. You have a contractual relationship with your employer. So what do you want to work for yourself? First off, see the first point I made earlier on, you probably shouldn't, because odds are you would be unsuccessful. But if you must, it is the same formula. Don't start the exact same business everyone else is. When they zig, you zag. Focus on businesses that are in high demand. They tend to be boring. I'm going to post dozens of these businesses ideas on our site, but here's a few to get you started. You can start a business helping homeowners and car owners. You can do pressure washing and do concretes, pest control. You can do, you can be a mobile car wrapping person, right? You know, people that's in these days. You can do mobile detailing. You can be an electrician. A mobile oil changes, landscaping. I can keep going. Keep it boring. Barbershops are a big time suck. If you started a business doing a mobile haircutting barbershop business, you will make a killing. I have a long list of boring businesses that we're going to post on the site that you can get inspired by. You have to get your hands on the almighty dollar. And taking the crowded route to doing the same thing everyone is doing could work, but you can work smarter by following the advice. To quote Charlie Munger, the first $100,000 is a bitch, but you got to do it. I don't care what you have to do. If it means walking everywhere and not eating anything that wasn't purchased with a coupon, find a way to get your hands on $100,000. After that, you can ease off the gas a little bit. The first $100,000 is a bitch, but But you got to do it. I don't care what you have to do. If it means walking everywhere and not eating anything that wasn't purchased with a coupon, find a way to get your hands on $100,000. After that, you can ease off the gas a little bit. Making money is essential for your survival, especially in these United States. But making money is one thing. What if you actually want to grow your money and keep your money? Join us next time on Amos Talks the Dollar.